I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. We're going to hear a story now, one you've probably never heard. It's about a basketball player born in Nigeria but raised in Boston. He played hoops for Alcorn State in Mississippi before embarking on a professional career overseas, far, far from the NBA, which is how, in December 2010, he wound up drafted by a team in Libya on the eve of the revolution there.
In Libya's history. Within the past hour, President Obama welcomed the fall of Gaddafi, but warned many challenges lie ahead.
This is a momentous day in the history of Libya. The dark shadow of tyranny has been lifted, and with this enormous promise, Libyan people now have seen...
My name is Alex Awumi, and I was the main basketball player for Muammar Gaddafi's team in Benghazi called Al-Nasser Benghazi, and I survived the Libyan revolution.
Alex Awumi played for the local pro basketball team in Benghazi, but as he just mentioned, it was more than that. Al-Nasser was Gaddafi's team, a favorite of the dictator who was about to be toppled. And this is Awumi's story, in his own words, about how that time in Libya changed him for the rest of his life.
You know, I would never be the same Alex I was before that. I had to be selfish at that point. Because if I wasn't, I wouldn't be here telling the story today. When I first got there, the atmosphere on the team was, everybody was pretty down. And I kind of figured out that it wasn't because of the coach, because of the coach was a nice guy. So I found out that, you know, I asked my teammate that these guys were actually getting physically wounded, beaten, because they were losing games and, you know, physically beaten, bruises on their arms, black eyes. And I'm like, hold on, you know. And I felt kind of bad because I was just, you know, this professional brought in. But I actually kind of took a liking to all those guys and built a relationship with them. And I, you know, it got to a point where I was like, you know, winning is not just important for me, it's important for them. The first time I realized something was changing in the country was, you know, I used to hang out with my teammates. And, you know, these guys were telling me, like, you know, the revolution from Egypt is going to spread to Libya. And I was saying to myself, you know, there's no way you guys are going to overthrow this this dictator that's been here for 42 years. And, you know, around February 12th, February 13th, protesters started, you know, they were all over the city. In small groups, probably groups of seven, you know, spread out here and there. Then the groups got bigger, 7 to 20, 20 to 30, 30 to 40, 40 to 100. And that's when I was like, you know, this is something different. And then February 14th, they've kicked off. And that's when it happened. That morning when I went up to my roof, I thought it was just, you know, basic military guys. It looked like they were trying to disperse a crowd, a large crowd. You know, this 100 turned into 300, maybe even more. They had them, you know, the machine guns with the Jeeps with the machine, semi-automatic machine guns on the top. But I never thought they would use them. As the military men inched closer to the protesters were, you know, it almost looked like a collision. At one point, I was like, you know, somebody's going to stop, you know. And instead of the military men stopping, they kept going, then they let off rounds and rounds out their machine guns. I mean, it was probably one of the saddest things I've ever seen in my life. I remember I had a bottle of water in my hand, and that bottle left my hand, and it dropped in slow motion. It was like I was like in a movie, like everything was slow. It was like I fell fast. I hit the floor before the bottle of water hit the floor. That's how slow the bottle was going. Everything just froze. And I've never in my wildest dreams thought that, you know, they were gunned down, 100 to 200 people. And in less than a minute, you could just see the, like, you know, it was like a pack of ants just falling. Like, you know, I could hear the shells hitting the ground. Ting, 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 ting.
These images are said to show the flag of independence being raised over Benghazi. With Libya in turmoil, some European countries are beginning...
After that, I was trying to ring everybody I could, my team president, my teammate, ring home. Nothing happened. And at that time, I was looking out the window, and it got worse around me. I mean, literally outside of my building. Like, you know, bodies were there. These Jeeps or machine guns were driving around. It was no room for me to go downstairs and peek my head out the door and try to escape to somewhere because I was in downtown. That 1 hour ended up turning into 16 days. 16 days exactly. So 16 days, I was confined in my apartment No water, no food, you know, no electricity, no way of getting to the outside world. The way my strategy was, you know, just get out how you can, just survive how you can. And if that meant eating roaches and worms, then that's what it had to do. If that meant drinking out of a toilet, that's what it was, you know. And I started questioning myself, and I started, you know, I kind of felt, you know, evil spirits on my shoulder. And I started seeing things, you know, having suicidal thoughts. Like, you know, I was just so stressed out. I was delusional, you know, but those are the things I had to do to survive. And, you know, I'm proud to say that I did do them, and I'm still here to this day. The 16 days finally ended when I got a call from my teammate Mustafa. And when I say I got a call is, you know, periodically I was checking my phone, turning it on, trying to make calls to see if it worked. And one time I did actually left it on. And thank God when I did leave it on, he called me and my battery didn't die. And he told me that my team president hired a driver to drive us to Egypt. We made it out of there. Faith, you know, faith plays a major role in moments like that because, you know, when I find I'm in a jam or anything, I turn to God. You know, my go-to was the Lord's Prayer. When I left Libya, when I finally got home, I figured it all out that this whole time, it wasn't me planning out my life. God had a plan for me. No matter how you grow, no matter what circumstance you've been in, there's a plan. God has made a plan for you. It's a straight line. You can go left or you can go right. You can try to make your own plan for yourself. At the end of the day, you're going to end up back on that line going forward.
Alex Owumi is now back on the free throw line going forward with his new team in Britain, the Worcester Wolves. He took a break from practice to tell his story to the world's Leo Hornack. See the view from Owumi's house in Benghazi during the fighting. We've got the picture at PRI.org.